The year was 1910. William Howard Taft was president of the United States. The Boy Scouts of America was founded. And in Washington, D.C., the Howard Theater opened its doors, ushering in a new era of black culture and entertainment. Howard was one of the country's first large music venues for African American audiences, the center of what was known as Black Broadway, and it played host to the likes of Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, and some of Motown's biggest acts, like the Supremes. Mary Wilson was part of that group.
I remember the one time when we worked there, the Dells were on the show. Oh, what a night.
The Supremes made their debut at the Howard Theater in 1962.
It was always full, and the screaming, and I mean, you've seen the audiences at the Apollo. It was that kind of audience at the Howard, always. It was always packed.
But years passed and things changed. The riots following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. drove audiences away, and many of the performers who had once called the Howard Theater home took their acts to other stages. And in 1970, the Howard Theater went dark. For most of the last 30 years, it just sat empty, a dilapidated old building, an eyesore bearing no sign of its former glory, until now. A lot of people have been involved in bringing the Howard back to life, among them developer Chip Ellis.
Really proud of what we've done here. We actually...
Ellis is a fourth-generation Washingtonian and the president of the Ellis Development Group. We met him outside the theater in the northwestern part of the city on 7th and T Streets.
We wanted to speak to the real rich history of the Howard Theater. It's been dormant for 30 years, and so the history has gone dormant along with it. And so we thought it was really important that people see from the outside the oldest major theater for African Americans in the country. And so all the detail that you see here is exact replica of the 1910 facade.
After 6 years and $29 million, the Howard Theater is back. The building has a stucco facade accentuated by white brick detailing over the windows. Above the doors, a black metal marquee with the theater's name.
Should we go inside? Oh, my.
So what you see here today is contemporary. The ceiling is much higher, I think, than originally was.
Although the outside of the theater is an homage to an earlier time, the inside is totally modern. The Brazilian marble lobby is surrounded by glass doors and HD screens. The walls are wrapped in black walnut. Two oversized black and white images of Billie Holiday and Louis Armstrong frame the ticket window.
The Billie Holiday picture just speaks everything about jazz music and just music and just, you know, everything about the era. She was a regular at the Howard Theater.
A cigarette that bears lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you.
Inside the theater, we met Bernard Demchuk. He's a professor of African American history at George Washington University, and he's been involved with the theater's redevelopment. Demchuk took us back in time, explaining just how important the Howard Theater was.
So the Howard Theater in 1910 becomes the anchor of the Black Broadway. There's black money here, there's black talent here, and there's black aspiration. And it wasn't just music, and people often forget. What started here really were performers. They were called the Lafayette Players and the Howard Players. But more importantly, this was a venue for oratory. So Booker T. Washington spoke here, W. Du Bois spoke here. So the Howard Theater was not just a doo-wop and a soul and a rock and roll venue.
Why hasn't the Howard Theater stuck in our collective memory the way that the Apollo Theater in New York has?
Howard Theater was the premier black theater in America. And in fact, Howard Theater started amateur night. Howard Theater started amateur night in the 1920s, and the Apollo picks it up in the 1930s, and voila, the Apollo becomes the big fish.
Can you give me a sense of what those performances were like? Who came to them? What were they wearing? What was the spirit of a performance night here?
On Sunday afternoons, it was the promenade of black America. Paris has its Champs-Élysées. Well, black America had its black Broadway. Men had to wear ties, and women had to wear white gloves. We refer to this group of people who came here as the black bourgeoisie of America. But let me be clear, it wasn't just about black people. The other term for the Howard was the People's Theater. And a People's Theater means that it really was open to everybody.
Mary Wilson of the Supremes was barely out of her teenage years when she, Diana Ross, and Florence Ballard were performing at the Howard Theater.
So Mrs. Ross, who was Diane's mom, would always chaperone. I don't even think we were 21 yet. And so this one particular week when we were there and Jackie Wilson was the star, Mrs. Ross had to go out for lunch or something like that. And she asked Jackie Wilson if he would babysit for us. And so we were standing behind Mr. Jackie Wilson when she asked. And he said, oh, sure, Miss Ross, I'll look after the girls. And we were like, yes, Jackie Wilson is going to babysit for us. But, yeah, it's so much fun performing there because of the great stars who were on the show with us. I mean, it would be like Wilson Pickett, Richard Pryor, Flip Wilson, Dionne Warwick. All these artists would play at the Howard. And it was just a great, great venue.
At this point, the Howard Theater is getting fitted with the final touches. The lights are being tested, the floors are getting scrubbed, the chairs are being set. And this week, the old building at 7th and T again becomes the People's Theater. And this is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. Yeah.